Is this thing on?
Alright, let's get this show on the road.
Okay.
Welcome to the Coffee and Carving Show, episode number 25, where we don't have any goats.
No goats.
Welcome, welcome.
No goats. That's a new one.
Oh, I thought I would talk about the podcast, but then I decided to talk about what we aren't. It's a helpful exercise, you know.
Well, let me just say, optometrist, your results aren't good. Patient, can I see them? Optometrist, probably not.
That's actually good. I like
that. Is that actually good?
No, for once I like that joke. That's good.
Well, then let me ruin it with another quick one.
Okay. If you have to.
I have to. Susie went to a new clinic for a checkup. After taking Susie's vitals, the nurse told her, the doctor will be with you shortly. But the doctor had double booked. So Susie ended up waiting longer than expected. Finally, the doctor burst into the room looking a bit flustered and said, sorry about leaving you waiting. I'm your doctor today. No problem, replied Susie. I'm patient.
Terrible. Crickets, man.
I didn't like that you liked the first one, so.
You really had to balance things out.
Balance.
Yeah. The balance. Is that how
balance?
I said it?
Yeah, really? It's a balance. Balance.
Well, I don't know. We don't talk the same as you guys do. You know this.
What are you drinking in that cup there?
Oh. That's the worst cup of coffee I've ever had. I don't know if I think I have too many, too much beans. A lot of beans in there. What about you? It's just decaf or Allegro. Yeah. Oh, you got the
good old Canada Dry. I cannot risk it. I had a coffee about an hour ago.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, I'll be toast if I have another coffee.
Right.
I'm already pushing the limits of my sleep tonight. But anyway, on another story, another way, blah, blah, blah. On another note, our coffee heroes this week are Philippe and Christopher. Thanks so much for hitting that buy me a coffee button. And also a little impromptu coffee gift for me from one of our local listeners. She came and brought me a bag of Starbucks coffee. Aww. So shout out to Tony because she bought me this coffee after my rant about Starbucks last week. So it's a win-win.
That's cute though. You know, you complain about it being expensive and she gives you a bag. That's nice.
Yeah. Yes. That was very nice. Very nice.
Very nice. It's a nice people. Are we listeners too? Love it. I very much love it. So what, well, should I start?
I think you should start.
Okay. Well,
what have you been up to?
First two things I missed last week. Hilariously, I got in a wreck. And I don't know how I forgot to mention this on my way to my grandma's funeral. And I was turning a corner and I slid on the ice. And as I started to slide, I knew immediately I was losing control. I saw two cars. I saw a Jeep and a panel van. And I was sliding into the Jeep with absolutely no control. And by the grace of God, somehow I ended up in a ditch. I missed the Jeep. I was kind of able to get just to the other side of it. Unfortunately, on the other side of it was the ditch. So I totaled my car. And while I was in the ditch, my dad was caravanning behind me. He took me to the funeral, so I didn't miss anything. But I got a call right when I got to the funeral from a cop saying, you know, I'm at your residence right now. And, you know, there's a vehicle on the corner of Kern and Rochester Road. And it looks like you have abandoned the vehicle. Were you involved in the three car accident? That was no sir, not at all. I was just happened to be sliding on the ice next to two.
I happened to crash all by myself.
Yeah. I don't need anyone else to crash. And so, yeah, I just explained myself, and he turned his tune changed right away. He was really nice. He was like, wow, I'm sorry to hear your grandma passed. I explained that I was on my way to a funeral, of course. And he said, man, my grandpa just passed away at 99. And I said, that's funny, because my grandma's 99. That's, you know, that's pretty good for us. We have good genes. And anyway, we chatted for a minute, and he said, look, you come by the office tomorrow. We'll write everything up. So I got there with the Honda. Turns out we pulled it out with my housemate's truck. Wasn't too bad, not a lot of damage. But when I pulled up, he was drinking a coffee sitting next to his vehicle, walked up and said, all right, you have your paperwork. You know, I was writing it down. And at the end of it, he says, do you want me to report this to your insurance company? And I was like, is he kidding? No, I would love if you didn't. And he said, all right, we won't. I was like, wow, that's nice. Great.
That's nice.
So he was real swell. And he said, we actually had the same car and the exact same Honda. And he was like, well, if you ever need to sell that thing, I'm interested. Mine has 350,000 miles on it. And I'm trying to get rid of it. So anyway, yeah, he was, in long story short, such a nice cop. And there are a lot of nice, nice cops in the world.
Yeah, there is.
Got to be grateful for those sweet people out there protecting us.
Yeah, I have to always talk nice about the policeman because my son is one.
There you go. That's cool.
Yep.
Is he?
Well, that's Ottawa? An interesting story.
Or not Ottawa. What am I talking about? Ontario?
He is in Ontario, and that's about all I'm going to give you.
Okay. Yeah, I guess. Yeah. Can you give me his name, age, height, skin color, yeah, exactly. Hair color?
What town, city?
Eye color. Anyway, so, but that being said, after the police called, still at the funeral here, backing up in my story, my buddy walks up. He's old. If he's listening, he's not that old. He's, you know, 73 or so, but he said, well, I just totaled somebody's car. I don't know whose it is. And just then my aunt walks in and says, it was my car. It was my car. He totaled it. She's shaking her head. My friend is hard of hearing, so he can't hear any of it. So he's repeating himself over and over again. Oh, who? I don't know whose it is. He's looking at me. So I have no idea, you know, whose car I hit, but I hit somebody's car. And I don't know. I don't know. Do you know who it was? And I said, right there, pointing. And she, you know, and so she's getting angrier and angrier. And eventually, they connect and they call the police and they get it all sorted out. But
because he can't hear.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah, and he forgot his hearing aid apparently.
Where'd they get in the wreck?
Right in the parking lot.
Apparently. And I was going to say, they both walked in?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, no, that's right. That's... And so they apparently he backed into her and took the door right off of her car. And and didn't notice. I mean, barely noticed. He's such a big old truck. And yeah, so that was, he said, you know, think bad things happen in threes. And it's a good thing that, you know, I was the third thing because you crashed, your grandma died, and then, you know, it happened. So
I have a car door story.
Let's hear that.
I don't want to interrupt your story.
No.
I just had this flashback to when I was in public school. Mm-hmm. I think I had cross country practice or something in country school. So yeah. All the buses would all line up and I can't remember, or maybe we were picking up one of my brothers. Mm-hmm. And I was a kid in the back seat. I can't remember the story fully. I'll have to ask my mom. Mm-hmm. But the bus was backing up. I guess mom parked too close to where the buses lined up.
Yeah.
And so he was backing up quite close to it was like a, I think it was a, I want to say it's a, it was a big Torino wagon, like a big honking boat of a car. But anyway, it was backing up close, like right beside. So for some reason I said, I should open my door at the exact perfect time.
Good idea.
And crunched the door off.
No, well, it's a good thing you didn't get whacked.
Yeah, but I don't know why I would do that.
Just open the door.
What would pop in your head to open the door when I remember roping the door shut and going home, but anyway, sorry, you go ahead.
No, that's funny. Anyway, so that was kind of last week's highlight as far as you know, stupid things. But this week, some sad news for the Jeep people out there. I'm considering, well, first I need to state my case before I say what I'm about to do, because I don't want any overreactions here. I'm a single guy. I'm not a rich man. And I have two collectible cars that are fun cars that are not reliable. Right?
Yeah.
what? What am I doing? I have one car that's supposedly reliable that needs tons of work that is going to cost a bunch of money. And I have two hobby cars. I have a 68 Saab Sunette and I have an 87 Jeep Comanche. And one of them's got to go. And it's not going to be the Saab. That's the hint. Saab. That's the hint.
Oh.
Well, and so part of this is spurred on by my friend who came over a few days ago and said, dude, my car is making a weird noise. And I know it's low on oil, but I can't open the trunk, the hood. And I said, dude, you got to go check that out. Following, you know, 2 days later, he calls me and says that his car exploded. It's done. He ran it out of oil. And so now I'm thinking of, you know, if he wants it, I'll sell him the Jeep for what I have into it. But if he doesn't end up buying it, I'm sure someone will, because it's a, that's a sweet little truck in good shape. So
do you think, or do you feel that, cause I think you might be a little bit like me in that, did you just think it was so cool at the time and just impulse buy that thing?
1,000%.
And I had never heard you were looking for a vehicle or nothing. And the next time I see you, like, I drove by this Jeep and I bought it.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Well, I drove by it. I'd never seen one. I didn't know that they made trucks. I had seen one other Jeep Comanche when I was a kid. And I remember seeing it because I was like, dad, look at that Jeep. It's a truck, but it's a Jeep. And I thought it was neat. So when I saw that thing, I could not pass it up. But yeah, it's really like at this point in my life where I'm at, I don't need two collectible cars in my driveway. I need a beefier savings. That's what I need. So
yeah, I understand that. I'm in the market for a vehicle too, but I am too cheap.
Yeah.
I feel you. The scarcity of vehicles right now is insane. Mm-hmm. Like even not that I was going to go buy a brand new vehicle, but the car lots here, I don't know. It's the whole supply train, whatever, you know, but the parking lots are empty in the dealerships.
Yeah.
Like a lot of dealerships have like four cars when they would normally have like 60.
Right.
So.
No, it's true that the same here. I mean, in Michigan, it's absolutely berserk. I mean, it's impossible to buy a car that's in good shape for anything less than like 15,000.
Did I say the supply train?
Oh, I don't know.
It's a supply chain.
That's what I meant. I didn't know if in Canada maybe they had trains.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's a train.
Sorry, who knows, man? I've only been there a couple of times, but there's a. one funny, you're gonna like this. It's terrible, but this is a testament to how little I have been paying attention to certain accounts. Okay, I saw that there was a draw on my account for $400 this month, coming from Zoom. So I clicked on it. I follow the link back. I'm trying to determine what on earth was $400. I just paid, you know, $200 for my yearly Zoom thing. Look, last month, why is it reoccur? You know, a couple months ago rather. So why is there $400? Click on it. I find out that when I was in a pinch, I upgraded from $150 a month to $200 a month, Zoom plan, whatever, business pro. It was in tiny, tiny font underneath. It says for 10 licenses equaling $2,000-something, right? A year. Wow. I was spending $200 since last year, early 2021. I've been spending $200 a month on Zoom.
For how long?
For almost a year and a half.
Oh my goodness.
The best part of this is I had enough capability. I could give people 10 accounts. So if I had a business and I had 10 employees, I could give each of them access to 300 people, a 300 person live stream for a limited amount of time with tons and tons of storage, iCloud. I'm just over here by myself using Zoom, like, you know, an hour, you know, four times a month. Unbelievable. So I called them and I said, I wonder if there's anything you can do. Like, I need to get this figured out because I had no idea. I was spending, you know, what is it, $2,400 a year on this. So
my goodness, boy, you don't need to sell your Jeep. You need to look at your bank account once in a while.
You're not wrong, man. So,
oh wow.
But so they're supposed to call me back. They were supposed to call me back, but they didn't. So I'm gonna send them an email. But that's part of what's going on. And then in other news, I put together a little like on the go bag, which is full of, because I'm about to travel a whole bunch. I'm going to Missouri for 2 weeks and then spending another week in Kentucky from there. And I thought, you know what, my to-go bag is lacking. And what that is, basically, it's, they also call it like bug out bags, but
bug out bag. Yeah, I know that term.
I think that's more like talking about people who like
heading to the hills when trouble starts.
Yeah, they have bunkers and stuff. Yeah, crazy. Yeah. It's a little bit excessive because I'm a dude and I like nerded out a little bit on those camping sites. I bought like a little camping stove and like a little some wool blankets, a first aid kit, some granola bars, and the least useful thing I probably got was this filter straw. It's like called Life Straw, I think.
Yeah. Did you get a blue one, or did you get the fancy steel one?
The blue one. Is there a steel one?
Yeah, there's a fancier one yet. Yeah.
Do you have it?
No, I don't like those things.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
My buddy said they're good, but it doesn't make the taste any better.
Well, I'm not inclined to stick my face in a mud puddle to suck on a straw.
I can't picture it just sitting in there, just slurping up from the straw. Yeah.
All of my water filters are the bag types where you can either dip it in a creek or, gather enough water and then just squish it through into a cup.
Okay.
Drink like a human.
Makes sense. You can actually look at what's in there just to make sure it's looking pretty clean. You don't have a defective. Mm-hmm.
But filter. That straw thing, I have bought one before. I think I gave it to one of my kids at one point. But and you gotta suck on that thing.
Oh, like, goodness,
it's a chore. But on the same hand, I think there's a bag attachment you might be able to get, and then just turn upside down and squish it through. So that would be okay. Yeah.
Oh goodness, thank God. Yeah.
But I like in the bug out bag. Now did you buy it? You have a tactical backpack, like an old army surplus backpack.
Sorry for the audio people. You can watch it on YouTube to see, but it's just a backpacker's backpack. Yep.
That doesn't count. What you need is a U.S. Army Alice pack.
I don't want to draw attention to me, man. Literally, though, I have used my old one 100 times and it's almost empty. Every granola bar, every water bottle, I've cut myself countless times on the road teaching classes, because I don't cut myself in the shop. I do it when I'm freaking out and I'm trying to teach 18 people how to carve faces. And then,
you know how some women have purse fetishes?
Mm-hmm.
I have that with backpacks.
Really?
Big time. Yeah. Right now, I've really weaned it down. But there was a time where I'd buy like 5 or 6 a year.
Wow.
I just love backpacks.
Well, what would you do? What would you get if you were me and you had all this? I mean, this is almost not right. There's almost too much in here. It barely closes. So.
Well, to be fair, I mean, I was a long distance backpacker, and then I have backpacks for work. Mm-hmm. And then backpacks for day hikes. And what kind of wool blanket is that? Is that is it real wool or is it
it's real wool.
Is it a blend?
It's 80%.
80%? Does it smell like mothballs?
It does. It smells kind of good though, in a weird way. I got that.
Every time I get a wool blanket, you gotta hang them on the line for like a week to get that smell out of it. Alec is holding up a whole bag of granola bars. He'll be set for days.
Yeah, I mean, and then I bought this little steel tin from Walmart. All this stuff is, like cheap stuff from Walmart. Mm-hmm. Little
that
stove, camping stove, the attachment.
You got fuel for it?
Yeah, I got the little sterno butane things in here.
Now your cup, Alec has a little stainless little cup there. Is it does it have the graduations on the side, or is it just
that's a good question. No, it doesn't have any measurements.
No, a Nalgene bottle will fit into that cup as well.
Really?
Yep.
That's cool.
Yes.
That's good to know. Actually.
Yep. Woo! There you go.
That's cool. That's great. Because I was trying to figure out, what am I going to fit? I've got this cup in there randomly.
Yeah, so that's good. I don't need to keep doing this, but
that's also being stainless. It'd be nice a pot also for your little stove to make a coffee.
Yeah, that's what I was. That's what I bought it for. Yeah, that's it. And then you know more a couple of the. I don't know how long these sternos last, but
that's not a sterno. That's isobutane. He's isobutane. The little mini canister. Is that MSR brand? What I saw red.
Yeah, I don't know. It just says sterno on it. Maybe that's the brand.
Oh, okay. But it is isobutane.
Yeah, it is
isobutane. I'm sure it is. Yeah.
It is.
Yeah. So they last quite a while, longer than you think. He's got holding up a space blanket. That's a little tinfoil blanket for all those interested. There you go.
Poncho.
That'll be great for when you fall into a river. You just wrap yourself up in tinfoil.
You know, when you're on the road teaching wood carving and you fall into a river. I got the bigger one. I got the bigger one.
My goodness. Look at the first day. Alec, I'm sorry, audio, but this is fascinating. Alec has a whole kit here. He's ready to crash with no one sees him.
I hope, live
in the bush.
Yeah. And so this is basically it. I bought a flashlight. I don't know why I didn't just put a normal flashlight in here. I got one that stands up by itself and that you can recharge. It's like a work light, but I figured this would be more practical. You know, you can kind of set it on stuff or hang it from a tent or the inside of your car or whatever.
Yep, all except the rechargeable part. Now you need to carry a battery pack now that you can charge it with.
Oh boy.
You better go get a fuel cell.
Oh, I have one. My brother bought me one for Christmas, but I blew it up trying to plug a drill into it. So and then this is the last thing in there, aside from the water bottles.
I can't see what that is. What is it?
Let's see. Life straw.
Oh, your life straw. Yep. There you go.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, how fun is that? Yeah.
What's that? That's my show and tell.
There you go. Well, that's fun.
So that's pretty much me. What's been new in your world?
Lots. Lots has been. Let me tell you my first story, though, because I was a bad boy today.
Oh.
I got, I'm a fun-loving kind of guy, and I like a good prank as much as the next guy, you know?
Yeah.
Well, I had heard, so let me back up. So my coworker has a little candy dish on her desk, and in her candy dish, she noticed this morning that one of the candies had a chew mark in it, and there was a mouse poop.
Oh, wow.
On her desk.
Ew.
And then I knew this from the past, but I didn't know the extent, but she is absolutely terrified of mice. And everybody says that, right? Yeah. Oh, I just don't like mice. You know, I don't like mice. But she's petrified. But so what should a fella do but to pull a little trick on her? So anyway, I had a big black plastic rat with red eyes in my room. I don't know why I picked up from one of the kids or something, or I have no idea why it was there, but it was up on the shelf. So she left her desk for a while, and I went and I stuck it under her desk by her feet. Now, mind you, it's a big desk, and it's like a little cave under there. It's pretty dark because she's got her computer tower and stuff underneath there. And so it's quite spacious, but. But 2 hours later, I walked by and I said, hey, did that mouse trap go off? And she said, what mouse trap? I said, well, I put a mouse trap at your feet in case that mouse came back.
Oh, no.
She goes, oh, you did not. I said, yeah, I did. She goes, okay, I'll look. But like I said, it was dark. This rat was black with red eyes. And she's up. She's down there looking around. She goes, I don't see it. And all of a sudden, she saw the red eyes. And screamed and hollered and jumped up and down and ran. Her beat red. Oh, I never see. I thought
you got her good,
No, I got her too good. I actually had to pause. I thought she was gonna have a stroke. She lost it. She was, you know, you say someone's scared of something.
Yeah.
She wasn't scared. This was like, this is like heart attack, stroke.
You nearly killed the poor woman.
I did. I almost killed her. I thought. Holy smokes, I am never going to scare anybody again in my life.
Man, oh, that man. It was
scary for me watching her.
And I hope you like called her husband when she got home and made sure that she wasn't sleeping.
Oh, no, I did. I did go back and check on her after. I said, still breathing? Still breathing?
Yeah.
Now, but the problem is now I have to watch my back because
that's right.
What comes around goes around, right?
That's true.
So, but on the same stories of rats, mm-hmm. I had an experience in my own house with a rat. Do you know what a canoe barrel is? A food barrel, big blue food grade barrel with a little snap on lid.
Okay. No.
Anyway, it's a big blue barrel, and I had scratch grains for the chickens in this big canoe barrel, and had a lid on there. And probably about 6 weeks ago, something chewed a hole about 6 inches around through the lid, which is thick plastic, like 3/16 plastic. Ooh, at least
6 inches. We're not talking about a mouse then if it's 6 inches.
Well, no, but I in my mind I thought, how, I bet you it's a chipmunk, because we had some chipmunk issues too. And I said, I bet you it's a chipmunk. And sure enough, I went and got a rat trap, put my peanut butter on it, sat there 6 weeks, nothing comes back until this weekend. And I went downstairs and I saw, and you would not believe, it was a rat. And it wasn't just a rat, it was a monster rat with the tail as long as the body. And it was just, it's as big as the silly little dog that runs around this house, a little rat dog. it was dog. Huge.
Oh
my goodness, I couldn't believe it. I'm like, how did that get in my house? And down in the in that. But anyway, that's my rat roadie. Story.
I don't was, like that. No.
I don't even like that. Yeah. Think of an animal that size running around in my
basement. Your house.
In my house.
Dang.
Luckily it wasn't on the living areas, but still.
Yeah.
But
we have mice, but they're usually, I feel like they're in the city more. Maybe we have them in this neighborhood, but growing up, like in the country, we didn't really seem to have a lot of rats.
Really? Well, we always have the odd rat, especially when you have chickens.
Yeah.
Chickens always seem to attract rats.
Yeah.
But like I said, they're far apart. First, I don't have chickens in my basement.
I keep the chickens in my basement.
But otherwise, last week on the YouTube front, I went back to the basics again and did a super simple carbon gnome video. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't just a carbon gnome, it was a choose your gnome video, like choose your own adventure type video. And so basically all it is a no-see-em face, and I'll hold up a couple for the video.
No-see-em, what is that?
Well, I'm no eyes, so they're basically the simplest. So we have like a leprechaun and a pilgrim. We got a little Easter hat, a little bunny ear hat. I made a wizard. And I made a Santa Claus. That's cool.
I like the wizard a lot. And the Santa's cute. Okay, so for those listening, they're basically these little characters. They're simple and they're cutely painted, but the hat pulls over the eyes, so all you can see is this little button nose and this cute little beard, cute little face.
And even to that extent, I even super simplified it, because ideally the nose or the cap, whatever cap you use, should really flow around the nose and just have the nose sticking through. But I made it extra simple. And I did that, and people seem to appreciate it, especially the beginners.
Yeah.
But then after making five different ones of those, I had to go back to the bark, and I carved a.
Well,
I thought I carved a leprechaun.
Oh. But
apparently, I did not carve a leprechaun. Look at this! Isn't that big?
Wow, as big as your head.
This is a for those listening, a cottonwood bark carving of a leprechaun, but
man,
it's good. Not a leprechaun. I carved it. See, this goes back to last week about having reference photos.
Yeah.
Right. We talked about it. Do you have reference? And I thought, I'll just wing it. I'll just make a guy. And I carved him. I painted him. I was proud as punch. Like, I'm going to make a video. The leprechaun, you know, silent wood carving, cottonwood bark. And the day after I made the video, and I didn't put it up yet, but the day after I realized, you did not carve a leprechaun. Do you know why?
No, it looks like one to me.
So
So
I have a tutorial last year of carving a leprechaun. And if you Google leprechaun, you'll be hard pressed to find a leprechaun that does not have just the chin strap beard.
Oh, I see.
See, I carved the whole guy and I didn't even consider it. I gave him a nice red beard with a full mustache.
Oh, I like him though.
Well, I like him too.
A new kind of leprechaun.
So anyway, I called the video The Irishman. So you can call it whatever you want. But so that was really fun for me.
Yeah.
Just to get out of the basic simple carving and dig into a piece of bark.
It's a nice carving.
Thanks.
Nice painting.
But then, yeah, the paint. Yeah, I'm really liking painting. I don't know how you can just leave it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'm the opposite. I don't know how you paint it.
A lot of people hate painting, and yeah, I like the painting just as much as the carving almost. Huh. But on another note, that's peculiar. So talking about beginner carvings, I have a problem. Well, I have a few problems.
But tell me everything.
This one in particular is I've been trying. I haven't really done it yet, but I've got all these beginner lessons and they've always been knife only. And I keep threatening, we're going to start bringing in some gouges and some bead tools and stuff. But every time I do that, I show what I use.
Right.
And it's always a file, medium-sized, full set chisel or gouge.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Not the large mallet size, but the mid-size.
Yeah.
And I keep saying, for the basswood, I keep telling them, like, you don't need this. You don't need it. It's for my paws. Yeah, I have bigger paws, and I just like a bigger handle and a straight tool. But anyway, how can you keep saying that? What are you doing? You're muted.
No, I got him.
You know, this is an audio podcast.
I know. I had to do it, though. I was mocking. You'd have to.
He was mocking. To be
there, you know? Yes, I was
copying. But anyway, so the story is that I want to teach more. I want to take a step up in the carving, but I don't want people to buy the larger tools. I want them to buy the palm tools, but I don't care for the palm tools.
Yeah.
I've grown to love these tools. So anyway, oh man, this story's getting long. I went for a drive to my favorite carving store that I can drive to is Chipping Away here in Ontario. And I talked to her about the tools and stuff. And you know what I ended up getting?
What did you end up getting, Doge?
It's kind of crazy. I ended up buying a flex cut exchange a tool.
No, that's not crazy at all. That's the coolest thing that flex cut makes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I have the same thing. Whenever I go out on camping trips and I don't bring the whole carving. I don't bring this massive box. I do the,
we'll talk about that box in a minute, but,
yeah, no, I just do
so,
that.
So what I'm referring to is a, basically it's the handle. If you know flex cut tools, they're palm tools. Yep. They have a shape for a wooden handle, but this one is the same shape, only it's plastic.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you take your different tool heads and you just snap them in.
Yeah,
and it's kind of cool,
isn't it?
Then yeah, and they're as tight as you know. I don't ever picture them being sloppy or anything. They snap in, they're tight, they're there. But what really sold me was because I like the bigger tools or the bigger handles. This kit came with a handle.
Oh, that's huge!
This big. They call it their power handle for pushing harder, but for me, it's perfect. It's perfect. Yeah. So it comes with another straight handle. So let me show you.
Yeah.
Compared to the mid-size tool that I like, look at the size.
Yeah, it's huge. It's twice this. So for those listening, he's holding up a medium-size file handle, and it's way bigger. I mean, it's twice the size.
Way bigger. Way bigger. So
it's a thick.
Yeah, one. I'm tickled. So when I do my beginner tutorials, then I'm going to use this little set. Because the main reason is because it's affordable and it's accessible to everyone. Flexcut is everywhere and nobody should not be able to get them.
It's true. It's definitely It's definitely a really cool, I think it's the neatest product they make, because they've got that press steel and it fits in a little pocket sleeve. In fact, speaking of bug out bags, my old bug out bag, that's where it is, my flex cut tool set. Because whenever I go on a trip, I bring the bug out bag, and that's in there in case I want to carve in an emergency situation.
So this kit came with, I forget how many, 16 tools.
Yeah.
But is this hard to bring as a tool?
Yeah, like, exactly. Right. Yeah.
Like compared to a whole bag of 16 tools, this is pretty slick.
No, it's awesome.
But that there leads me into, well, I did make a video. I don't know if I'm going to publish it or not when I opened it up, because I said, this is never going back in this box. So
yeah,
I'm going to make a little carry case for it, but it came in a nice wood box and stuff, but we'll see. I have been playing with it, and so far I'm liking it. So
yeah, no, it's cool. I'd love to see you do a video with just that.
So. Well, yeah, that's what I plan on doing that. But like I said, I made a video just opening and showing about it, but I was maybe, I don't know if I was hard or if I was just indifferent. I was just like, if I don't like it, I'll tell you. Like, they don't care about me. I don't care about them. You know, it's just, it's flex cut.
Yeah.
And if I'm using it, then it should work for you too, right? So right. We'll see in future videos. But so that was that. But this whole idea of teaching the beginner classes with with a lower cost, easy, accessible tool set, makes me think that what a fantastic thing to bring carving. So I thought it'd be fun to talk about carving outside of the home, carving on the go, carving on the fly, how setups, you know, whatever. Yeah. So to me, this little kit here, I'll probably end up making some kind of a little tiny tool roll.
Yeah.
And I think they sell them, but it probably says flex cut all over it. So I'll probably get Sophie to make me a nice little canvas one.
Yeah.
But, I think that'd be great just to throw in my bag instead of a whole roll of full-size chisels and gouges and tools. So
I have the little roll that it came with, and it's just a little gray pouch roll thing, but it's cool. Really, that's what we've been talking about the last few minutes is these travel bags and the little flex cut roll kit with the plug-in tools. That's like, to me, that's all you really need. I went around Montana, Wyoming, Idaho, and that's all I did is I carved when I was camping, and I made some nice little carvings with just that little set. I mean, sure, you know, it takes an extra minute to plug the thing in, but it's fine. It works.
Well, let me stop you there, because when I did the video too, I said, well, let's say I don't put it in the handle. I just hold it in my hand.
Yeah.
If it's just for two little cuts or two little nicks, just hold the tool.
Yeah. Well, that too. Yeah. If you're doing just a little, I ended up doing the same thing with a V, because you're not putting that much pressure behind a V tool in most cases.
No. Or if you just want to do a little wrinkle or something, it's no big deal.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's pretty good.
I have also another thought though, like, what about traveling though? If you want to do like a wood spirit in a tree or whatever, and you held up that little toolbox earlier, and that's exactly something that I kind of pictured. But I know, audio aside, hold that up again for the
I don't have the video because right now, but
that's slick.
Little magnet in there keeps it shut, and plexiglass.
You made that?
Yeah, my dad and I made this when I was 13 or 14.
Okay, yeah. I'll give that to your dad, yeah. That's nice.
But I burned my name in it and like carved my name in it when I was a kid, so it's pretty hilarious. But yeah, no, you just slide the tools right in. The hole sizes are punched out so that you can fit the bigger and the smaller tools in different spots. Yep.
What is it? The Woodwright shop. So now you're gonna wear your little overalls and walk the bush and carry your toolbox.
No, I do like wearing my overalls. There's nothing wrong with a pair of overalls. That's
I love me some overalls. Yep.
Well, it's practical. Yep. I mean, you're not gonna. The problem with shirts is they collect, you know, dust, and it can stain your. I mean, I have hardly a decent shirt in my closet. If I just wore my bib more often, I'd be better off.
You know, behind me, I have a Frost River wax canvas apron. It's like a tool apron, like real nice looking apron. Mm-hmm. I never put that thing on, ever.
Really?
That seemed like a good idea at the time, but I've never bothered.
Yeah.
But
well, it's just like if you're doing the kind of thing where you're throwing dust everywhere, it's nice just to take that off and to walk into the house and not worry about doing laundry.
Yeah. But yeah, no, for sure. It's a good idea.
Yeah.
But I just never use it. But you say that with the coveralls, but I wear coveralls. It's hilarious when I'm cutting firewood.
Yeah.
And you think that everything's is bouncing off you, but my goodness, my pockets are always full of sawdust from the chainsaw. It just collects it.
Right. Yeah, that is the downside to it with the open pockets.
We're getting way off topic though, because I want to talk about travel setups and going in the bush. You're going to a show. How about a show? Because I've seen you do demonstrations at different places and whatnot.
Well, the setup is simple. It's a three-legged clamping work base called the Jaw Horse. And alongside of that, of course, I threw a magnet from Harbor Freight. They have these like 12-inch magnet strips. Put that on there. And aside from that, oh, that's funny. My phone is picking up everything that I'm saying and turning it into text. Anyway, so I use this, this box that I was showing you earlier. I fit my tools in that. I get sandpaper down below here. Usually I bring 220 and 320, 300, 320 grit sandpaper. But that's that. Lately I've been using this German, I'm not sure the brand. It's a blue backed, if you search German fabric backed sandpaper, and this is really nice, super durable. I like the backing. It seems to hold the grit a little better.
I thought that I upgraded to the 3M purple stuff.
Oh, that stuff is, that still might be my favorite though. No, nothing wrong with that. But
here's a tip for the listeners. Don't get your sandpaper at a dollar store.
No, don't cheap out on that. Yeah.
No, it just crumbles so fast.
You want the good stuff. So that, and then I have this piece of 2x4. It's just I call it an A-frame, but it's just two pieces of 2x4 screwed together. So I can clamp them in the Jaw Horse and then clamp my bark mounted fixture board against that with my spring clamps. And that's how I do my my stuff. So
for sideways pressure when you're carving, do you rock that thing and tip it around?
No, you know, there's foot rests in there. And I find if I put one foot in that little hole.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right. I never thought of that.
Yeah, yeah.
I have I have holes in my basement and I circle them with marker or in my workshop.
Yeah.
With that has the Tapcon holes, because every time I use that thing, I Tapcon to the cement floor because I hate pushing it around the floor because I'm always too rammy too. But
well, you're probably, I mean, you know, look at you. You're probably over there just, going ape on it, just whacking it with your forehead, you know,
with my 4-inch chisel. Take that.
No, yeah, exactly. Yeah, I love people teasing you about that thing because it looks like it looks like you're trying to carve bark with a shovel. It's so big. Well, it's like,
yeah, I have this.
There it is.
Slick. I have the slick, but then I got this.
Oh, yeah.
And I feel like.
Is that a kid's play shovel that you sharpened? Is that what that is?
Okay. No, I think a kid's play shovel would be a little bit cheaper than this.
Okay. It was hard to tell from the camera. I didn't know if you. Speaking of carving, I wanted to say too, I wanted to brag on myself, really love bragging on myself more of practice that I stole from one of the featured artists last a few weeks ago. Jeff Weir does these little paintings in the morning when he calls them like a warm-up painting. I don't know if he still does it, but it's like 4 inches by 4 inches. Like a bumblebee or a little mountain, whatever it is. And just to get himself prepped for the day. And so I've been doing that. Not always in the morning. Sometimes I finish the workday off by just forcing myself to finish one small carving. It could be a profile. It could be just a little wood spirit. Just pop something, some bark real quick under, a couple hours. And it makes every day so much better. Because even if you had a bum day, the video that you tried to upload failed rendering. And then you had to re-upload it and edit it again because it the software got corrupted, and you know, stuff like that happens to me most days. But when you get just a small carving done, especially in the beginning of the day, but even at the end of the day, I feel so much better.
So, done something.
Yeah, I've done something at least. So
yeah.
Because really, these, and the other thing is, you have these big projects. This is not a big, big project, but stuff like this, I keep on the bench for weeks sometimes that I just play with. And so that was my dream for this secondary bench, is I'm pointing behind me to a fixture, was just to do like quick, small stuff on there. And then like the long game stuff over here. So that's something that I've enjoyed doing.
That was a fun tangent.
Yeah.
We're terrible.
I know.
ADHD brains, but I'm going to keep on going with this because you just reminded me, by reminding yourself about that, reminded me I have a bone to pick with you.
Okay. Let's pick it.
A couple months ago, I confided in you about a carving that I really want to do.
Uh-huh.
And you did it this weekend.
Oh, can I tell you something?
No, I'm saying I'm so angry.
I know. I knew you'd be. Let me show you something though. Speak it. No. I'll speak it too. But one of the things that I felt while I was doing this is I shouldn't be doing this. And I couldn't remember. I couldn't remember if it was you or if it was my friend Todd. Because I knew one of you mentioned doing this carving or wanting to do this carving. And sure enough, when I finished it, I posted it online and my buddy said, this is great. Did I remind you of anything? Like, was I the inspiration for this? So he did Harry and the Hendersons Bigfoot maybe 2 years ago. And I saw that and I remember going, man, that's super fun. I wonder, maybe one day I'll do that. So for the listeners, Doug brought it up to me, a few months ago, talking about how you wanted to do a Harry and the Hendersons Bigfoot. So I started watching those videos the other night, and it's the cutest TV show. The next thing I watch on TV is going to be something from the internet off of the Harry and Henderson series, but it's cute. So yeah, I did steal your idea
and
stole it from, now you can't do it. Yeah. It's stolen.
Now it's over. It's done.
It's over. It's over.
Well,
for you.
I have a twist that I'm still going to do with my Harry and Hendersons.
There you go. Yeah,
I'll make you regret doing that.
Probably, honestly, you'll probably get all fancy with paint.
I want to say it. I want to say it out loud. I want to do a green man Harry and the Hendersons.
Oh yeah,
right.
You were talking. That's what it was. You're talking about.
Yep.
Kind of like the, what is it? What is that character from like the bean container? Like the cans of beans or like cans of. The big green, something green giant.
Oh, the jolly green giant.
Jolly green giant kind of vibe.
And sprout. Yeah. Well, I have that picture saved too. Mm-hmm. Jolly green giant.
Yeah.
But we talked about
that's what it, that's right. Yeah.
That's right. Because I remember saying that the jolly green giant has like three or four iterations.
Yeah.
Since the 60s. He went like super fairy giant to manly giant. He's changed.
Yeah. No, he's changed anyway, a lot.
But, I guess we'll put a button in that travel carving topic. And this, folks, is what you can expect every single week because we can do nothing but.
Yeah, it's true.
We're incapable.
We're just we're incompetent. We don't, we're just over here going crazy talking. You know what time it is, Doge?
It's the mailbag.
Bag. I was gonna do my intro.
I cannot for the life of me understand how you cannot remember something so simple. Mailbag, then media artist.
No, I was just gonna say it's the time of the week where we, you know, I was going to make do a little thing.
You were going to introduce what mailbag. Happened to our mail?
Okay. Yeah, I was going to introduce mailbag.
I think you're lying.
I absolutely was not. I was. Please believe
because
me.
Because normally for the last 24 weeks, you play a little ditty and we both say mailbag.
Doug, I have a memory like a steel trap. I don't forget anything.
Oh, he's okay. Got it written down.
There you go. I don't know what you're talking about. I have a rote memory, dude. It's photographic. One time I told my physics teacher that I have sometimes I have a visual memory, like a photogenic memory. And he said, photogenic. He's like, well, okay, don't get high on your horse there, Alec. But anyway, photographic is anyway. So, which I don't. That being said, Doug is going to do it this time.
I just highlighted a few because there wasn't too much to talk about this week. But I know that Tony was kind enough to buy me a coffee this week. But Tabitha wants to send us coffee, and we talked about this a couple weeks back that we're not drinking coffee, but we're not going to emphasize it because it just hasn't worked out. So
yeah,
we've been encouraging people just to hit that buy me a coffee if you're so inclined. No one's twisting your arm, but if you're so inclined, because I know to ship a package, and if you're just buying the coffee and shipping it to Canada, you just paid three times the value of the coffee, and it just doesn't seem fair to you.
No.
So we appreciate it, but and like I said, and by no, we're not begging, we're not asking, we're just throwing it out there. So we appreciate the offer. But like I said, maybe for in the future, we'll just emphasize the buy me a coffee button, because why spend so much money if it's not going to be highlighted?
Yeah. No. Yeah. It's easier to do.
Yeah.
But yeah. That's the way to go. So, but thank you.
Yes. We had some suggestions for little sections or categories in our podcast, and one of them, like Austin and Mary Ellen, both had little suggestions, and Austin was saying that we should read our reviews. Now I don't know that we have very many reviews, and I don't know that I'm smart enough to go and find the reviews in these audio podcast platforms, but my one takeaway, though, is what we could do is maybe perhaps not a review, but if you're watching on YouTube, I would like to hit on some of those comments in the under the YouTube, because they're kind of fun sometimes, but we never mention them. But as far as reviews goes, I know that if you leave a review, it's supposed to help push the podcast forward. So if that's the case, then please do. But I don't know that I've read one yet.
No, I didn't even know that you could leave reviews on a podcast. So that tells you about how much I know. Lou, we have a review. Nice. I think it's a five-star review. So yeah, there you go. Really enjoy the show, fellas. As a newbie carver, I got to learn a few things about carving each week from two great carvers and teachers. Most I get to be entertained for an hour while I carve. Aw.
Awesome.
And he says some other nice things. Thank you. Doesn't say who it
is. Nice.
But that's cool. Oh, wow. We have 27 ratings.
Really?
We have 27 5-star ratings.
Shut the front door.
Oh, whoa. Love the non. This is great. This is going to be our mailbag. Love the nonsense.
Okay. Let her fly.
Love the nonsense. Okay. That's the title of this one. Really enjoy the show, fellas. Okay. That's the one I just read. Okay. And it is signed Austin. Fun conversations. This is more compliments. Great listen. I want to find a funny one here.
That might be Austin who's suggesting.
Ah, thank you, Austin.
Can I ask you a question before you read too much?
Yeah.
Where are you reading this?
This is on the Apple Podcast app.
This is Apple. Okay. Yeah. So does every podcast app have this feature?
It does. I think so, at least. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it has the right the thing. So just on the app itself. I don't know. I don't think that Spotify does, though. Well, maybe it does. Somebody who's going to tech here has to tell us.
All right. Read me a review, then.
All right. This is a fun podcast between two wonderful carvers that touch on all aspects of their lives and once in a while talk about coffee.
The opposite, yeah.
Honestly, that's right. I'm so glad to see this wood carving podcast. Oh, this, what is this supposed to be? Great work, Doug Linker. Huh. It just says
your name.
It just says great work, Doug Linker.
Okay. You know what's up. Okay. You know how it is.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Nothing nice about me. That's okay. That's fine. No, I'll just be in the background. The rapport between, this is from Rick and Wendy. The rapport between Doug and Alec just makes me feel like we're sitting on the porch with a cup of coffee.
There you go.
That's nice.
I like that.
Someone says we have great chemistry, which is kind of a weird way of putting it. I wouldn't go that far. Great to listen to if you like carving or not. Can't wait for the next show.
Well, that's a good point. That's a good point, because the people that I know that listen to the podcast don't give a rip about carving.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Right.
And I was telling you that the other day too, about my favorite podcast is the Making It podcast with Jimmy Dresta, Bob Claggett, and I always forget his name, the guy from Make Stuff or Make Something.
Yeah.
And they talk about CNC machines and stuff like that. I'll never have a CNC machine, but I like listening to it for some reason.
Right.
And I just think it's so funny that people listen to this for that don't carve.
Yeah.
That's fun. It's great. I think it's great.
Absolutely awesome. Absolutely fantastic. Yeah. So. We're doing something in between every segment. I guess you have more email.
I had one more.
Doug's looking at me. Like what are you doing?
No, I had one more here that Mary Ellen suggested that we do, like keep a calendar of upcoming seminars, shows, events, and whatnot. And I don't know how you feel, but I appreciate her suggestion, but I think I'd like to kibosh it, the idea, because I would like this to be evergreen. And this is what I appreciate about people that are going back and re-watching or re-listening, that we don't spend a whole bunch of time on a calendar with specific dates and times, because maybe someone's going to find this podcast on episode number 48, if that even, I shouldn't even say that out loud, because that's hopeful thinking, but it would be nice to keep it evergreen. What say you?
I think that's true. I mean, well, there are a lot of great podcasts that do that, so you could check them out. Well, and there's one in particular that does what she's asking exactly, which is keep people up to date on different events. And I like your idea of keeping it evergreen. We don't want people to be listening in 2 years and have half of the show be like, and in 2011, have March 31st, a wood carving class that Doug and Alec are teaching together. Which, would that ever happen? Would we ever teach a class together? You teach the painting?
No, I teach on video.
Come on, that'd be fun.
We talked about this.
I know, but we got it. I'll keep bringing it up.
I'm a nervous Nelly. That scares me.
Well,
I'm a behind the scenes guy.
Sure, sure.
I know you like the upfront. And look at me. I'll teach you how to carve.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, hey, I don't know. I don't love it always, but I do like attention. I do.
Man. So. Now you can do it.
All right, let's go. Here we go.
Here we go.
Welcome to Media, where we talk about some of the stuff we've been listening to, taking in, maybe reading, and one of our favorite artists.
There you go.
There you go.
I have one today that I'm tickled pink about.
Okay.
It's
a fitting color for you, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. I have an artist who also has started doing media. I guess he hasn't really started, but I just clued in that he actually has some videos. Okay. And that... this fellow was on the International Association of Woodcarvers, where I learned about him. Mm. And I started following him on Instagram. And his name is Bruce. Ankeny. Now, I say that with great hesitation because Blake Lunsford was saying his name. I can't remember if he was saying Bruce Ankeny or if it's Ankeny. Yeah. So I apologize in advance if I'm saying it wrong, but I believe it's Bruce Ankeny, but I can't remember which way it was. But Bruce, he's Ankeny Bruce on Instagram, but he also has a YouTube channel, Bruce Ankeny. Mm-hmm. And he's a fantastic wood carver.
Yeah.
But he's fantastic, but also it's accessible. Like, they're not out of reach. Right. So for instance, I've been watching his eggplant video that he made eggplants, and I took it upon myself just today to try my hand at it.
I love that.
I'm really looking forward to carving it up. It's awesome. But it's not a difficult carve at all, and I think it's gonna be a lot of fun.
That's so cool. So that's so a great shape.
He also makes a really good gnome, but his painting technique too, he has that, and he is, I'm telling you, it's so simple.
Yeah.
No boiled linseed oil. No, just lots of water. He sprays it with water, paints it wet, and doesn't even care if it bleeds together.
Oh wow!
It just has a look. It's really cool. So
yeah, I'm excited to check him out.
Bruce is my media/artist of the week.
Very good. All right, so mine is a guy, kind of a member of these really great carvers, along with Virginer or Matt Virginer, who's a fantastic carver. I would include Patrick Burke in this group of people who are really these talented carvers who have either studied in Italy or live in Italy, and this little town of Ortese. It's Peter Demetz or Demetz. I'm not sure how you say it, but he is a younger carver, younger artist in terms of the average age of carvers, right? So here's a picture of him working in the studio. But he does these really incredible portraits. And here's an example of one from behind. It's really shallow relief, but it's incredible, the stuff that he does. And, you know, it's in true Italian form. I'm pretty sure there are some nudes, but most of these are clothed. But he does these figures that are just, like, so cool. And a lot of times the faces are turned, and it's just like somebody, you know, in everyday clothes, and he'll do the full figure. And they're just, just awesome. The way he captures people is awesome.
What was his name again?
It's Peter. Demetz. Demetz.
Etz.
Yeah. Z. Yep. Z is Z.
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 Yeah.
Or do I say Z? Am I supposed to put Z? I always say Z.
I've never said Z before.
Okay. So you say Z, I say Z.
Oh. What do you mean? So,
there's an American Canadian thing.
What are you talking about? What is Z?
Z is the last letter of the alphabet.
No, it's not. It's Z. What are you talking about, Zed? Willis? Is it really what you call it?
W, X, Y, and Z. Now I know my ABC.
Z. Now. W, X, Y, and Z? Is that what you say when you sing it? You say somebody, W, X, Y, and Z.
No, I say Z now. Okay, so you say Z. Somebody says Z. Okay, I'm out. Let's stop this conversation.
Look anyway, at these covers, though. Peter Demetz, he's so good.
That is really good. Really good.
Anyway, but check him out. He's a good carver. A lot of great carvers of peers of his who have worked with him. So that's it, folks.
Well, that was fun. So, folks, you can feel free to drop us an email at the coffee and carving show at gmail.com. There you go.
That's right.
And thanks for hanging out with us for episode number 25. And if you are so inclined, you can hit that buy me a coffee button. And Alec will smile.
And probably text Doug.
That's right. Someone buzz coffee.
See you guys, and don't forget, take your vitamins already.